Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is our text. I'd like to start with a question this morning. And the question is this: what is the church? What is the church? Is it a building? Is it the legal entity incorporated with the state? Is it a particular denomination, or even all denominations together? As you can imagine, theologians have written volumes about this question, and that's good and necessary in so many ways. But sometimes the simple answer is the best. Let's not overcomplicate it. What would a 7-year-old say about the church? Do we have any 7-year-olds here, or almost 7-year-olds? We have a couple. What would they say? Martin Luther once wrote, "Thank God, today a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, the holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd." That's it. The holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. So, Nico, when I ask you, or Helen, you know what the church is. It's exactly as Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." As we think about who these sheep are, it struck me that it would be really interesting to walk through the Gospel of John and see exactly who are the people who hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. And what happens to them as they follow the good shepherd? If you walk through the pages of John's Gospel, the first one you run across is John the Baptizer. From the Jordan River, he bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And then to the people who are following him, he points them to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And by listening to John's voice, they follow Jesus. There's Andrew, one of the first ones who follows Jesus, who tells his brother Simon Peter, "We've found the Messiah." And they both become his disciples. There's Philip, who heard the call to follow, and then he found Nathanael and told him, "Come and see." Walking through the Gospel of John, you begin to see the shepherd calling out with his voice, and the sheep hearing the voice and following him and coming from different places and different situations and going where he leads. There's Nicodemus. This one's a bit darker. He's not quite so ready to follow Jesus openly. He shows up at night when no one else can see him. But by the end of the gospel, he's right there at the cross, helping to take the body of Jesus down and lay it in the tomb. There's that woman of Samaria. You might remember her from John chapter 4. Jesus met her at Jacob's well, and he asked her to draw water for him. He told her everything she had ever done, including the fact that she'd been married 5 times, and the man she was now with was not her husband. And for that, she went and told everyone else that she had found the Messiah. There's the official and his son who was dying, and there's that lame man healed by the pool of Bethesda. There are the full 12 apostles who stayed with Jesus even when others began walking away. And we'll get to that in a minute. But when others were leaving, Peter gave voice to their beliefs. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." There's the woman caught in adultery, whom the Pharisees and scribes were ready to stone to death, but whom Jesus refused to condemn and instead forgave, saying, "Go and sin no more." She heard his voice and she followed him. There's the man born blind in John chapter 9, blind from birth, who confessed his belief that Jesus is the Son of God and worshiped him. And even when he was pressed to say that Jesus was a sinner, he said, "I don't know about this Jesus guy, but I know you're all a bunch of sinners," to the Pharisees. "But I know that I was blind, and now I see." Or another sheep, this one who had been in the grave for 4 days, Lazarus, a beloved friend, who even in death heard the voice of the shepherd calling, "Lazarus, come out." And he came, and he stood on his feet, and he lived. And his dear sisters, Mary and Martha, who believed that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the list could go on and on. There's Mary, the mother of our Lord. There's the women who went to the tomb. There's Joseph of Arimathea. There's doubting Thomas. There's Peter the denier, and on and on and on. The gospel is a gathering of the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd. And when I say it goes on and on and on, I don't mean that it goes to John chapter 21, but that continued even after Jesus was risen from the dead and ascended on high. Still, there were those who heard the voice of the shepherd whom he knew and who followed him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple? The word disciple simply means to be a student or a pupil or an apprentice, one who is learning from someone else. There's definitely the sense here of a hierarchy. The student is not on the same level as the master or the teacher. They are sitting at his feet. They are listening to what he says. They are absorbing and taking in his teachings. And not only in a sort of information way, but they follow his way of life. And that's what we are as well. You are numbered with all of these saints, with John the Baptizer and Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathanael, with Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria and the official and his son and the lame man who was healed and the 12 and the woman caught in adultery and the man born blind and Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the others and you. You have heard the voice of the shepherd. You heard it perhaps first when you were baptized, if you were baptized when you were young, or perhaps later as someone bore witness to you about Jesus and who he is. You heard his voice as you were taught the faith at church and at home and with friends and others. You hear his voice Sunday after Sunday here in the church. You are one who follows Jesus, and he knows you. He knows you inside and out. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you stumble. He knows what makes you afraid. He knows what gives you joy and delight. And as you follow him, he is watching over you, and he is taking care of you every single step of the way. In fact, this shepherd is so good that he not only cares for the sheep when it's convenient, but he cares for the sheep even when it costs him something very dear. "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Because he knows you, and he loves you, and he desires to have you as part of his flock, not only today in this moment, but each and every day, for your entire life here and forever, to be a life of hearing his voice and following in his way. When I say hearing his voice, I don't mean we're always hearing it perfectly. I don't mean that we're always responding exactly as we should. Would that were the case for you and me both. But when we do stray, when we have stumbled, when we have allowed fear to cloud our eyes, sin to endanger us, other teachings to pull us away, and then we hear his voice again, what do? We come running. We bleat out our confession, Lord, have mercy and forgive. And he picks us up and he leads us anew. He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd not only of the flock here on earth, but also of the flock in heaven. As we heard in Revelation chapter 7, the saints who are gathered there around the throne, they are worshiping the shepherd who died and is risen and who reigns over all things for their good. What is the church but holy believers and those who hear the voice of the shepherd now and forever? Or you could say it is simply an assembly of sinners gathered around Christ to hear what he has to say. An assembly of sinners. When we invite other people to join us at church, is that what we invite them to? Do we say, hey, come and join an assembly of sinners gathered to hear the voice of the shepherd? I think that's how we should invite them, because that's simply what we are. Just one mass of sinners assembled around the voice of our shepherd, hearing what he has to say, living from his forgiveness, feeding at the pasture he provides, following him. But there are others, of course, who hear but don't hear, others whose hearts are hardened, others who don't listen and who don't believe that he is the Christ. And Jesus was talking to them in John chapter 10, because they said, tell us plainly if you are the Christ and we will believe you. And Jesus says, what do you mean, tell you? I've been telling you all along. By everything I've been saying and by everything I've been doing, I've been demonstrating who I am. And you don't believe. And you don't follow. The Pharisees, who at every turn try to stymie Jesus, trip him up, lead others away from him. The Jewish leaders who are threatened by his presence. The crowd after the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they said, this is a hard saying. And they left. Caiaphas, who understood that one man had to die for the people, but didn't believe that Jesus was dying as God for sinners. Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands of the whole matter, even when he heard about the kingdom that Jesus brought. And Judas, who perished and did not continue to the end, who stopped his ears to the voice and instead went after filthy lucre and mammon and a desire for riches. There is a warning here, and the warning is this. The warning is that if any sheep is separated from the flock and wanders from the shepherd and ceases to hear the shepherd's voice, then it's in danger. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There were many who were offended by Jesus. There were many who were offended by his teaching that he was God come in the flesh. There were many who were offended by his teaching that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one God in three persons. There were many who were offended by his suffering and his death. And so they rejected his word and they rejected him. They rejected the word made flesh. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. And they picked up stones to stone him. They thought that it was blasphemy. It was mercy. They think that Jesus, being man, has made himself God, when actually it's the other way around. It is Jesus who is God taking on human flesh and becoming man. And not only has he taken on human flesh, but he became man in order to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and then to take his life up again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now we ought to think about what the life was like for the sheep who followed Jesus. Because I know the life that you desire and that you would wish to have. But it's not necessarily the life that Jesus promises here. We want our life to be a life of green pastures, of good health, of safety and security, with no enemies and no threats around us at any time. But that's not how it is for the sheep here. Think about all those sheep I mentioned. John the Baptizer. He hears the voice of Jesus and follows him and has his head removed. The blind man, blind from birth, who in persisting in following Jesus is kicked out of the synagogue and disowned by his fellow Jews. Lazarus, who is no sooner raised from the dead, but they begin plotting how to kill him. The 12, Peter and Andrew and James and John, crucified upside down, killed by the sword, and attempted to be poisoned before he died of old age for John. Following Jesus doesn't mean that this life will be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that everything will go exactly the way that we wish it would, but it does mean this. It means that we always have a shepherd, and we always have a shepherd who not only is leading us, but who leads the way through life and death and into life again. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And listen to the promises. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. John the Baptizer, the blind man, Lazarus, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and you. Eternal life belongs to you. I know we don't see it yet fully, maybe not very much at all. It's like looking through a glass dimly. But eternal life belongs to you. It is your life already, now, and still to be unveiled in full when Christ comes again, and may he come soon. And you will not perish. No matter what you go through in this life, no matter what you face or have to endure, you will not perish. Because he said, "No one can snatch my sheep out of my hand." And the Father who has given them to Jesus, the Father who has given you to Jesus, is greater than all. And if he is greater than all, then who can take anyone out of the Father's hands? One last step I want to make here as we think about the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. How do we hear the voice of the shepherd today? It's not that we hear him speaking in our hearts. It's not that we have some mystical notion about how we hear his voice. We hear his voice through other means. We don't hear him immediately thundering from the clouds, but we hear him as he speaks to us through his holy word, and as he speaks to us in the holy sacraments, in baptism, and in holy communion. Just as he appointed St. Peter to feed the sheep. What did Peter feed them with? He fed them with words. With the word. And Peter's whole job as the under-shepherd, just like St. Paul, as we heard in the book of Acts today, their whole job was not to lead people to hear their own voices, but rather to hear the voice of Jesus. That's what your pastor is for as well. Not that you would hear my voice, but that you would hear through me the voice of your good shepherd, calling you to follow him, believing what he says, receiving the gifts that he provides. I wanted to make one comment about that. I saw a news report recently that the Lutheran Church of Australia, not a sister church body of ours, but one where there were some relationships with, that church body recently took the step of ordaining women to the ministry. I think it's important to remember, as we think about the office of the ministry as Christ gives it, that we do believe in a male-only pastorate within our church. And we believe in that, first of all, because Jesus was a man, and the pastor is standing in his stead. And because of the way Jesus and the apostles speak of this in the scriptures, if we are to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, then we need to know that that voice is authentically and appropriately coming from him. St. Paul warned that there would be wolves who would follow, wolves who would seek to tear the flock apart, wolves who would persist in lies and in tearing people away from Christ. But we know those who are Christ's. They are the sheep, the holy believers, who hear his voice and believe in him. And what is his voice saying to you today? It is saying that you are his sheep, that you are those upon whom God the Father has set his heart, that you are those for whom Jesus has laid down his life and taken it up again, and you are those for whom he speaks in his word and sacraments, so that you can follow his voice and have the certainty that your shepherd is leading you now and forever. It is the Father who has given you into the hands of his Son, and no one will ever snatch you away. So be and remain what you are in faith and in life, the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd and belong to his holy church. In Jesus' name. Amen.